1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, I'd like to look at a message I have entitled, The Spiritual Man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now when I use the word man this evening, I am using it to include all human individuals, that is men, women, boys, girls, and teenagers, and not just men only. Notice please, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? We're going to notice several things. Number one, the natural man. Number two, the carnal man. And then number three, the spiritual man. After that, we're going to notice four biblical qualities that characterize the spiritual man. Are you a spiritual man? You say, preacher, when I look around this room and compare myself among my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm a spiritual man. Didn't ask you that. Are you a spiritual man? As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be.
Yes.
You ought to be a spiritual man.
Yes.
So please notice, number one, the natural man. We find him here in 1 Corinthians 2:14, which says, But the natural man. You could say the unsaved man here and do no harm to Scripture because the natural man is an unsaved man. And the Bible goes on to say that he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man could be the neighbor next door. He could be the family member that you live with. He could be the friend that you spend time with. He could be the guy that you work with. He may be a person who is religious. He may be a person who is morally good. He may be a person in this room tonight.
Yes.
But he does not grasp, comprehend, or understand spiritual truth. It would be absolutely impossible for him to do that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this. The natural man does not grasp, comprehend, or understand spiritual truth because spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. So that's the natural man. He needs to be saved. He needs to be born again in order to grasp, comprehend, and understand spiritual truth. So let me ask you something. Are you truly saved? Are you born again? In John 3:7, Jesus said you must be born again.
Yes.
You must be born again in order to grasp, comprehend, and understand spiritual truth.
Yes.
This is man's condition. Every human being in the world is born spiritually dead.
Yes.
He is born that way, separated from God because of his sin. He is cut off completely from a personal relationship with God Almighty. That is man's condition. Every single person in the world from Adam unto this very hour stands before Almighty God guilty, and all the world must say, I am guilty, I am guilty, I am guilty, for I am a sinner. How does a person get saved? How does a person get right with God Almighty? Did you know that all religions have some sort of salvation plan to offer you? However, all false religions have some sort of works tied to their salvation plan. They say that you have got to do something in order to get saved, in order to get right with God Almighty. That is not right. Salvation is not by your own works of righteousness. In Titus 3:5, the Bible says, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, the Bible says, All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Salvation finds its basis in the shed blood of Christ apart from any human merit. In 1 Peter 1:18, the Bible says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Do you know the problem with all false religions? They missed the person of Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that's why the religions of the world are not going to save mankind. They missed the person of Jesus Christ. Only in the Christian faith is there a salvation that is the cure. Salvation only exists in Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved."
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, what must I do to be saved?" You need to exercise faith in the gospel message. In 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." When a man hears the gospel, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with a repentant heart receives that gospel as the only hope of salvation, that man is saved. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," in Acts 3:19. In Acts 17:30, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." This repentance is a change of mind that agrees with God that one is a sinner. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In Romans 5:12, the Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And also agrees with what Christ did for us on Calvary's cross. Some 2,000 years ago, he became our substitute. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, "For he," that's God, "hath made him," that's Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And if man would simply believe on Christ, he could be saved. In Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." In John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." To believe on Christ is to receive Christ.
Yes.
To receive Christ is to believe on Christ. Simply believing on Christ as the one who bore your sin, who died in your place, who was buried, and whom God resurrected from the dead. In Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," in Romans 10:13. If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, you need to be saved. You need to be born again so that you can begin to grasp, comprehend, and understand spiritual truth. And with that, you will receive forgiveness of all your sins, eternal life, and a home in heaven when you die. Brethren, we ought not be tired of hearing the gospel. If it is truly believed, it will transform hell-bound sinners lost and without hope into the children of Almighty God. So that's the natural man. The natural man needs to be saved. But notice number 2, the carnal man. The carnal man is a saved man. Carnal man is a born-again man, but he is dominated by his flesh. He is ruled by his flesh. He is dominated and ruled by the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that he has, that he was born with. Therefore, he is a carnal Christian. Now, the Bible defines carnality for us. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, the Bible says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men?" In other words, the carnal Christian may look like the spiritual Christian. He goes to church. He goes to Sunday school. He looks good on the outside, but he is dominated by his flesh. He is ruled by his flesh. He is dominated and ruled by the old sin nature, the old flesh nature that he has, that he was born with. And the result of that are such things as envy and strife and divisions. Therefore, you have the carnal man dominated and ruled by his flesh. Notice number three, the spiritual man. If you have a carnal man, there must be a spiritual man.
Amen.
Every Christian is aware of the old sin nature, the old flesh nature operating in him. It does exist. The spiritual man is a Christian who has the old sin nature, the old flesh nature operating in him, existing in him, but he is not dominated and ruled by its existence. The spiritual man is a Christian who is dominated and ruled by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, and thus he is a spiritual Christian. We're not going to examine the natural man or the carnal man any longer. I want us to zero in on the spiritual man and examine him today. As a child of God, you're going to be dominated and ruled by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, and thus be a spiritual Christian, or you're going to be dominated by your flesh and thus be a carnal Christian. You're going to be a spiritual dad, a spiritual mom, a spiritual husband, a spiritual wife, a spiritual young person, a spiritual Christian, or you're going to be a carnal dad, a carnal mom, a carnal husband, a carnal wife, a carnal young person, a carnal Christian. It is that simple.
Yeah.
Now, you ought to be a spiritual dad. You ought to be a spiritual mom. You ought to be a spiritual husband. You ought to be a spiritual wife. You ought to be a spiritual young person. You ought to be a spiritual Christian. But you say, preacher, how can I determine that? How can I determine if I have the qualities that characterize the spiritual man? With the time remaining, we're going to look at four biblical qualities that characterize the spiritual man. And I want you to examine yourself and see if you truly are a spiritual Christian. Please notice, number one, the spiritual man discerns. We find him in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, which says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." What does this verse teach? It simply teaches us that the spiritual man discerns. He will pray. He will investigate. He will seek out. He will discern. It is not good enough for him that something feels right. It is not good enough for him that something looks right. It is not good enough for him that something seems right. The spiritual man will examine all things in light of the Word of God and then distinguish between right and wrong to make a right choice. He does not discern on the basis of his own personal experiences. He does not do that. He discerns on the basis of what the Word of God says. He discerns on the basis of what the Word of God teaches. The spiritual man is a student of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He knows how to take the Bible and determine what is right and what is wrong to make a right choice. Brethren, that is the spiritual man. You'll never hear the spiritual man saying, "Well, it doesn't bother me, so if it doesn't bother me, it must be okay." You'll never hear the spiritual man saying that. That's the mark of carnality. You'll never hear the spiritual man saying, "I watch nudity and listen to profanity on television, and it doesn't affect me, so if it doesn't affect me, it must be okay." You'll never hear the spiritual man saying that. That too is the mark of carnality. You'll never hear the spiritual man saying, "Well, folks are getting saved. And if folks are getting saved, it must be of God, because anything that results in salvation, it must be of the Lord." You'll never hear the spiritual man saying that. That too is the mark of carnality. The spiritual man does not judge on the basis of his own personal experiences. He does not judge on the basis of results. He does not judge on the basis of opinions. He judges on the basis of what the Bible says. He judges on the basis of what the Bible teaches. He understands the Word of God, and by using the Word of God, he discerns. He discerns what the Word of God says and what it does not say. He discerns what the Word of God teaches and what people say it teaches. Not everything that comes across the TV, radio, and pulpits by preachers is "thus saith the Lord." So don't be so naive to think so. Now, if I were to say God did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do, and gave you no Bible verse to back that up, do you know what the spiritual man would do? He would examine the Word of God and see if that's what the Word of God says, if that's what the Word of God teaches. If it does not say that, if it does not teach that, it goes in one ear and right out the other. But if the Word of God teaches that, the spiritual man is a hearer of God's Word and a doer of the Word of God. God did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do. And the Bible is very clear on this. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, "They which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That is one of the clearest passages in all the Word of God, that God did not save you that you might live for yourself and do what you want to do, but that you might live for Jesus Christ. Amen. So the spiritual man discerns what is right and what is wrong to make a right choice. And by doing that, he is able to give godly advice to others. Don't get your advice from the ungodly crowd. Psalm 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Get your advice from the spiritual man. The spiritual man can discern between what is good, what is better, and what is best. He realizes that there are many things that are good, but they are not superior. He learns to discern between what is best over what is good. The spiritual man discerns between the good, from the better, from the best, and gives his life to doing it first. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The spiritual man realizes that there are a lot of noble things that he could give his life to, but he must determine what is first and then do it first. He is not guided by his emotions. He is not guided by his experiences. He is not guided by results. He is not guided by opinions. He is guided by the biblical principle set forth in the Word of God. He tests out what he thinks, what he is told, what he sees, what he hears by the biblical standards set forth in the Word of God. He gives liberty where God grants it, but he requires restriction where God Almighty demands it. I submit to you that the spiritual man discerns. If that's a quality of spirituality, are you a spiritual man? But notice number two, the spiritual man acknowledges. We find him in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, which says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you are the commandments of the Lord." The spiritual man acknowledges the authority of the Word of God on his life. The Bible is not just a good book to him. The Bible is not just a good book of biblical principles to him. The Bible is a book of binding biblical principles to the spiritual man. He acknowledges the authority of God on his life. He acknowledges the rule of God on his life as it is expressed in the Word of God. In other words, he gladly submits himself to God. In James 4:7, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." You say, "Preacher, how can I do that? How can I submit myself to God?" The only way you can submit yourself to God is to bring yourself under the authority of God, under the rule of God, as it is expressed in the Word of God. You must realize that the biblical principles set forth in the Word of God are not just up for grabs, but they are the binding rule for your life. The spiritual man would say something like this: "You tell me what the Bible says, or help me find out what the Bible says, or I will find out what the Bible says, and whatever the Word of God says, I'm going to do it, because I realize that the Word of God is binding in its authority upon me as a child of God." Listen, folks, if there is anything at all that would cure most of your problems in your home, in your church, in your life, in your business, in your marriage today, it is bringing yourself under the authority of God, under the rule of God, as it is expressed in the Word of God. So let me ask you something. Do you gladly submit yourself to the commandments of the Word of God? Do you gladly submit yourself to the teachings of the Word of God? Do you gladly submit yourself to the principles of the Word of God? If you are a spiritual Christian, you do. If you are a carnal Christian, you do not. It is that simple. If a Christian does not submit himself to the authority of God on his life, to the rule of God on his life, as it is expressed in the Word of God, he is a carnal Christian. No matter who you are, as a child of God, unless you come to the place of submission to the authority of God in your life, to the rule of God in your life, as it is expressed in the Word of God, you are not a spiritual Christian, you are a carnal Christian. I submit to you that the spiritual man acknowledges, if that too is a quality of spirituality, are you a spiritual man? But notice number three, the spiritual man restores. We find him in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, which says, "Brethren, if a man be taken over in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." A Christian who's taken over in a fault is usually trying to live for the Lord. He is usually trying to live for God. But for whatever reason, he winds up into a life of carnality, and the Bible says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Well, don't you see, the spiritual man judgeth all things. He examines all things in light of the Word of God. He discerns on the basis of what the Word of God says. He discerns on the basis of what the Word of God teaches, and then distinguishes between right and wrong to make a right choice. He acknowledges the authority of God on his life. He acknowledges the rule of God on his life as it is expressed in the Word of God. And he gladly submits himself to the teachings of the Word of God, to the principles of the Word of God, to the commandments of the Word of God. And in that position, he is now able to help restore a carnal brother or sister in Christ. The spiritual man ought to be the first one to help out by saying, "What can I do to help you get back on track?" The carnal Christian would say something like this: "If that's the way my brother and sister in Christ are going to live and act, I'm not going to get involved. I am not going to help out." You'll never hear the spiritual man saying that. That's the mark of carnality. The spiritual man ought to be the first one to help out by saying, "What can I do to help you get back on track?" Now the spiritual man considers himself, as it says in Galatians 6:1, unless he is also tempted. He does not compromise the Word of God to help. He does not compromise his convictions to help. He does not compromise his standards to help. But outside of that, he does whatever he can to help restore that carnal brother and sister in Christ. I submit to you that the spiritual man restores. If that too is a quality of spirituality, are you a spiritual man? But notice number four, the spiritual man matures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, "I could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, even as in the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Well, don't you see? The carnal Christian here, he was not maturing, he was not growing, he was not moving forward in his spiritual growth. However, the spiritual Christian, he is maturing, he is growing, he is moving forward in his spiritual growth. Why is that? The spiritual man was feeding upon the Word of God every day. He examines all things in light of the Word of God. He discerns on the basis of what the Word of God says. He discerns on the basis of what the Word of God teaches. And then he distinguishes between right and wrong to make a right choice. He acknowledges the authority of God in his life. He acknowledges the rule of God in his life as it is expressed in the Word of God. He gladly submits himself to the teachings of the Word of God, to the principles of the Word of God, to the commandments of the Word of God, and he is seeking to help restore a carnal brother or sister in Christ. Let me ask you something. Are you maturing? Are you growing? Are you moving forward in your spiritual growth? As a child of God, you ought to be. You ought to be maturing. You ought to be growing. You ought to be moving forward in your spiritual growth. You ought to be further along in your spiritual growth when you first were saved. You ought to be further along in your spiritual growth than you were a year ago, a month ago, a week ago. As a matter of fact, you ought to be further along in your spiritual growth than you were just yesterday. Are you living in the reality that one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and give him an account of how you lived your life? From the very moment you embraced him as your own personal saving friend and until the day you die? The Bible is very clear on this. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." In Romans 14:10, the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? The Bible tells you why in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, which says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." You ought to be growing. 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." What keeps you from maturing? What keeps you from growing? Is there a sin in your life that keeps you from maturing? Is there a sin in your life that keeps you from growing? Whatever sin keeps you from maturing, whatever sin keeps you from growing, is keeping you locked in the carnality, and you don't have to live that way. You say, preacher, what must I do? You need to confess and forsake all known sin in your life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I submit to you that the spiritual man matures. He grows, he develops in his Christian life because he is not content to live with any sin in his life. He demands that he do right. When he discovers sin in his life, when he finds inconsistency in his life, he deals with it. He deals with that sin, he deals with that inconsistency so that he can move forward in his spiritual growth. You'll never find a spiritual man shrugging his shoulders saying, that's just the way I am. You'll never find a spiritual man doing that. That's the mark of carnality. The spiritual man says, that may be the way I am, but by God's grace, I am not going to stay that way. I submit to you that the spiritual man matures. If that too is a quality of spirituality, are you a spiritual man? By that I mean this. Are you a discerning Christian? Do you judge all things on the basis of what the Word of God says, on the basis of what the Word of God teaches, and then distinguish between right and wrong to make a right choice? Are you an acknowledging Christian? Do you acknowledge the authority of God in your life, the rule of God in your life, as it is expressed in the Word of God? Do you gladly submit yourself to the teachings of the Word of God, to the principles of the Word of God, to the commandments of the Word of God? Are you a restoring Christian? Are you a maturing Christian? Are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?